Thank you so much, Alex. Wonderful songs, you know. His mercy is more, and it is well with my soul. And that is strictly because of his mercy that our soul can be at peace with God. If you're late joining us, thank you for joining us. We are looking forward to just a special day in God's Word. And again, I'd encourage you to interact with us through the comment section of Facebook. Even if you want a prayer request and you're hesitant to put it down, just type in prayer, please. And we have a team that will use the private messaging board and communicate with you privately so you can share that which is heavy on your heart with us and we can pray with you. We earnestly want this to be a time where we as family, Ellicott and beyond, really gets to connect through this time. We just rejoice again in this technology. I want you all to know, I miss you all so much. I miss your hugs. I miss your handshakes. I miss your smiles. And some of you, I miss your laughs. They're so peculiar and wonderful, and I just miss it. This is not how we design church or how God wants us to come together, but for now, this is what the Lord has brought to pass, and we need to understand that. And I also want you to know that I appreciate all of you so much. I mean, we have pared down even here at Rocky Mountain Calvary and Ellicott Campus to the bare minimum of number of people. We are maintaining our own personal social distancing while we are doing this. And I just appreciate Alex and Scott for helping us do this. This is a special time. Don't look at it as a strange time or a confusing time or a difficult time. This is a time where you and I compassionately connect with God so that it can be well with our souls. Today we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And remember, throughout 1 Corinthians, we're looking at the fact that we have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I can be a person that would look at and hear someone saying a vain saying or a platitude, and it just, to me. You know, things like, everyone's saying, and we know that everyone isn't saying, or everyone knows, and we know not everyone knows. Or someone who says, you know, my mother told me there would be days like this. Well, I want you to know, nobody prepared for days like this. And so that's just hollow. Well, I think one of the worst ones is, I know what you're going through, when you know they have no clue of what you're going through. No understanding whatsoever. And I understand why people say those things. Don't get me wrong. But yet, we could say things like, I can only imagine what you're going through. You know, we never knew there would be times like this. Or everyone is saying, or my favorite for my generation, I walked uphill both ways to school. Going home, coming back to school, going home. Now we're doing this live streaming schooling and everything else. It's a different time. But yet it's a time that's still in God's hands. Last week we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and we saw that they had stopped trusting in the message of God, stopped trusting in, and began to have all of this divisiveness within the body of Christ. People believing only this or being puffed up and who had shared Christ with them when they had trusted Christ as Savior. And Paul gently reminded them that they were saved by grace. He reminded them that He is the one, God is the one that fully enriches them. He reminded them that they had a testimony in Christ that had been confirmed, it had been revealed in their life. They had separated themselves from the world to passionately pursue Christ. He also reminded them that they had been gifted by God in spiritual gifts, and we will see that again later on. He reminded them that now in Christ that they were blameless in the sense of that position of sanctification and justification that only God gives. God is faithful. He reminded them to trust in his plan. This week he transitions a little bit as he's still answering the questions of what is going on and the situation that is going on there. And the bottom line, he is asking them to be committed to seeking and living the wisdom of God. To be committed to the seeking and the living of the wisdom of God. It's my prayer that this message explodes in all of our hearts today, because the message still stands. We need to be seeking and living in his wisdom. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again so much for your goodness to us. Lord, we would ask your hand of blessing on this time in your word. Might it truly fall fresh on our hearts. Might it encourage us. Might it truly change us. Father, might it challenge us in our walk with you. Oh, Father, I just ask your hand of blessing on each household that is watching or that will watch in the week ahead. Lord, you know the needs within every household. Lord, I pray that you would minister, that because you are a personal God, because you love us so much, that you would wrap your loving arms around every single family and reassure them that you're still there and that you love them. Might they not escape your presence. Lord, might they hear your still small voice this morning in a wonderful, wonderful way. Your voice is loud and clear through your word and through your spirit. And with that, we rejoice. Thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen. Be committed to seeking and to living the wisdom of God. Notice how we see this transition take place in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because we see Christ crucified, the power of God, and we see the sharing of Christ. That's what Paul does. He starts with that. Notice in the very, very first verse what Paul shared with them when he was there those 18 months. Notice verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Well, what is the testimony of God? The testimony of God is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish. That beautiful, beautiful verse that so many people pluck out of context and would like to tell you this. Well, that means everybody's saved. No. It says that everybody who believes in Christ, you know, Christ himself said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the testimony of God. He sent his Son for a purpose, for you and I. And that's what he came to say. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. No, I came to tell you just the testimony of God. That's what he shared. Now, exactly who did Paul share? Look at verses 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's who he shared. You know, that's why Rocky Mountain Calvary at the Ellicott campus and at Central Campus, both Eric and myself and all the pastors and many of you folks, that is our message. Christ crucified. You know, he died on the cross for a purpose. There and only there were your sins and my sins placed in his body, and he suffered the wrath of God that we justly deserved. He took our place, suffered that wrath, so you and I could be set free from sin. The bondage of sin, the condemnation of sin, and the joy of that, and the wonder of that. And so that is his message. Now, as long as I have breath, I yearn that would be my message to all those around me. Jesus Christ alone and him crucified. That's who Paul shared with them. He didn't share anything else. He didn't say, follow me, I'm better than. He didn't do any of that. He said, it is found, life is to be found in Christ alone, following after him. Well, how did Paul share? Look at the next two verses. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not of persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. That's how he did it. He walked in humility among them. He very humbly, I'm sure at times just crying and weeping before people, that they would trust the message of God, the testimony of God, Christ crucified. He was also walking powerfully in the Spirit. You know, I think of Ephesians 5. Where it calls on you and I to walk circumspectly during these times in the power of the Spirit of God, needing him to speak to us and through us to a lost and dying world, needing him to speak to us and through us to encourage people when they're going through difficulties. Yeah. I keep texting people and said, well, I did some Zoom this week, you know, and I never knew that there was such a place to go. I'm sure they're overwhelmed, but now we have enjoyed in the Ellicott campus times of Bible study through Zoom, as well as here at Rocky Mountain Calvary, the Central Campus. I personally have even done some counseling through Zoom. It's a special, special tool during days like this. And yet, in the midst of that, I yearn for the message to be Christ alone. You know, to be able to do it humbly and yet walking in, revealing the power of the Spirit of God, the power of God. Well, why did he do that? Look at verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The testimony of God, Paul's message, Christ crucified, the power of God. I don't know where you are today in your walk with God, but my hope is that it is in Christ. If you're watching wherever in the world and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, hear that. That is the testimony of God. I sent my son, is what he's saying to you and I, for a perfect purpose, to create this beautiful relationship that we will only find through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He passionately pleads with you and I to walk in that power, to truly be surrounded by his presence all the time, even in the midst of the craziness of this situation around the world. I never thought I'd live through a pandemic like this. I have to admit that. I have no clue what to expect next. But I do know, because of my relationship with God, I can trust him. I know his love, his grace, his mercy. None of that has been stopped to us who believe. And so if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, start that wonderful adventure today. There's no greater time than to trust in him. You know, there's a lot of evangelists out there or people that would want you to say, oh, you're okay, don't worry about sin. There'd be others who would talk about, you know, if you give money, you'll be okay. That isn't it. The testimony of God is Christ crucified for you, for me. That is where the power of God comes from. So sharing that reality, going for that. You and I need to not only share like Paul did, but we need to seek Christ crucified and his wisdom. Did you hear that? Not only share it, but consistently, committedly in our lives, seek Christ crucified. Always remind ourselves where we came from. I did not deserve salvation, but Christ gave it to me freely. For by grace I am saved through faith, not of myself. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. It is his standard, seeking that. Notice verses 6 through 9. Because he wants us to know that this wisdom is not of this world. Verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. In other words, I yearn to speak just the truth that flows from God and his word wonderfully. Not something that the world whispers in my ear. Verse 7 goes on to say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages for our glory. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that, you know, in the Old Testament we would see Christ is coming, Christ is coming, Christ, God will provide a Savior. He is coming. And now, you know, Paul is sharing that mystery. Christ is here. And not only is he here for the Jewish nation, he is here for all people, Jew and Gentile. Remember, this church was cross-cultural in every single way. And people were saved out of every myriad of sins that you could imagine. And they are coming together now. And he wants them to know that this mystery now revealed to him and the rest of the apostles is blossoming. It's coming true. That we can have a part in Christ, a part in the plan of God. We call it the church today, and the wonder of that. Verse 8 goes on to say, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, if they had known, Pontius Pilate would have intervened. Someone would have intervened and said, no. If he was and he is the Christ of glory, but we know that God's design, his plan was for Christ to go to the cross for us. You know, often I think I wasn't worthy of the sacrifice of Christ. That's true. But God so loved the world. He loved me. He loves me and wanted me to truly jump into that. You know, James even talks about this wisdom that's not of the world. In James chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. The wisdom that is bitter and envious and self-seeking does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking is, confusion and every evil thing are. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. What a beautiful thought. This wisdom comes from God. It's not of this world. It is found in God's word. God's spirit draws and convinces us of the truth and encourages us to walk within it. This wisdom is revealed by the power of the Spirit. That's what Paul goes on to share in verses 10 and following. Follow along as I read. I forgot verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And that's such a beautiful truth. You know, that would be found in Isaiah 64. What a beautiful truth. These beautiful things. Isaiah didn't know exactly how God's plan was going to work out, but he passionately pursued it. He declared it. God's in control, even in the midst of everything else. And these things can enter our hearts and the truth and the wonder of it. And again, this wisdom is revealed through the Holy Spirit. Follow along as I read verses 10 through 12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, how can I know what is in other folks unless my spirit searches what's happening within their lives? The Spirit of God reveals to us the wonderful things of God's word. You know, I look at heaven and what is going to happen in the book of Revelation. Now, those are the deep things of God. Much of it is still a mystery, but yet much of it I know that my God is going to bring to pass. And the joy that I have within that. It goes on to say in verse 11, the second half of it, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God which reveals to us God's truth. It is the Spirit of God that reveals to us God's plan. It is the Spirit of God that holds us on the path of following him, seeing those open doors and walking with him. It is the Spirit of God. And so the need to, Galatians 5, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit is so true, so that the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives. Wanting to do those things. Verse 12 goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might catch this, know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants us to know all that he is pouring out into your life and my life through his love, grace, and mercy. His mercy is more. It goes beyond salvation. It captures that walk with him. It is walking in the understanding of everything that he has freely given us, that you and I can have real hope, even in the midst of a coronavirus, a pandemic. We still have hope. Listen, I'm not foolish. I know I could easily catch this virus. It's a virus. It is airborne. Do I take precaution? Absolutely. Wash my hands more frequently than I did. Use the alcohol-based stuff more frequently than I did. Yeah. All of those things, trying to stay a distance away from some. And if I see a person over there coughing, man, I'm not going to go near that area. You know, I have two relatives, because of their health, that they are personally quarantined just because of their health, because of the situation that they find themselves physically. And my prayer goes out to them. I love them dearly. Yeah. But the reality is, I still know all of those things that God has given to us, the truths of God's word. I know where my eternity lies. And within that, I'm not going to be foolish because I know that, but I know that I have real hope in the word of God. Turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's capture some of this. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember? Why did he share it? So that their faith would be in the wisdom of God. What God has given, the testimony of God, Christ crucified. That's why now that we have been justified or declared righteous because the righteousness of Christ has been put to our account, oh, we can have this peace. That peace that truly passes all understanding. Why? You know, and a lot of people in Philippians 4 don't and go all the way down to verse 9, and it is because the God of peace is with us. I think you have to capture the bookends there in Philippians 4 to be able to understand the true peace of God through the power of his spirit in our personal walk with him. What am I thinking about? Verse 8. What am I meditating on? Verse 8. If I go back to verse 3 or 4, you know, what am I rejoicing in? How am I rejoicing? Even in the midst of this craziness. Notice how it goes on there, Romans 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God's grace, he has given us something that we don't deserve. This personal relationship with him, consistent, where we can run to him with our prayers, and I'm asking you to share your prayer requests. You know, just type in, pray for me. People will reach out through you, through the message board there. It's a private time. Before, and I'm going to listen to it. Notice how it continues on. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, difficulty, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, that time of continuing forward, and perseverance, character. We develop a Christ-like character, and character produces hope. Now catch verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Think of that. Rejoice in that. The wonder of that. Paul, even in Romans chapter 15, would share this with them. Look at verse 4. He says, "For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." Hope. That's what God's word is. And how sad it is that God's word becomes a temporary thing, on occasion thing, rather than a consistent, consistent daily time with us. Look at what he says in verse 13 of chapter 15. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, believing that you may abound in the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit." That's what Paul is reminding the folks there in Corinth of. There is power in the Holy Spirit. Don't allow the gifts become a distraction. Don't allow how you got saved or who was teaching when you got saved to become a distraction. It's all about God. It's all about Christ and him crucified. That's the testimony of God to you and I. It's all about him. My life is no longer about Rich Bailey. It's all about who God is in me, all that Christ has. When you think about it, just think about those. Those things that he has freely given us by God, let me share with you seven of them. He's given us salvation, Christ crucified. With that salvation, he's given us relationship, a personal relationship with a personal God whom we can go to any moment, any time, any way, for any reason, and he hears us. This Abba Father is real. It's true. He's given us salvation. He's given us relationship. He's given us the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He is within us. If you and I are true believers, and I know I am, that Spirit is within me. Zowie. Who would have thought it? And I'm thinking, really, God? You would want to have residence in my heart and life? And he does. That is his love. That is his grace. That is his mercy. Not only salvation, relationship, and indwelling, which helps the relationship, but he's given us gifts. He's equipped us to do the work of the ministry. I share often that early on, at Summit University, man, I thought, oh, yeah, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a pastor, not me, not ever, is what I thought. Well, God had a different design. I marvel. There's many times that I don't feel worthy of it, but I know that this is the next one, my calling. Every single one who is in Christ, you have a calling. Do you realize that? Salvation, relationship, indwelling of the Spirit, giftedness, and a calling. Wow! You have purpose. You have hope. You have a journey that is particular and special only for you in this life, in this time. True hope, eternity with our Savior. You know, I bought the lie when I was a kid. No, I wasn't a kid. When John Lennon came out, Only Imagine There's No Heaven. At the time, I didn't believe there was. But now, through the power of his Spirit, because of the relationship of God and because of truth of God's word, I know there is real hope, solid, concrete, real, genuine, that I can cling to, that you can cling to. Bottom line, a future with him that is wonderful. Salvation, relationship, indwelling, giftedness, a calling, hope, and a future. Our great God, you know, seeking that Christ crucified and the wisdom of God is something that you and I need to do. Not seek the wisdom of this world, but seek that which has been revealed to us through his word and through his Spirit, because it leads to genuine hope in our lives. So not only must we be sharing, not only must we be seeking this wisdom of God and the power of God through the crucified Savior, but you and I need to be living as a spiritual man, living this wisdom in our lives. You and I need to be committed to seeking and living the wisdom of God found in Christ crucified. Notice verses 13 and 14. Because first and foremost, you and I must be teachable by the Holy Spirit. Allow him to radically transform our lives for his glory. Verse 13 goes on to say these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual to spiritual. Where do we get that? Right here. God's love letter to us? It is a single love letter filled with 66 different little chapters of his love, his design, his passion for us. And we have it. And the Spirit of God now can take us deep into the Word of God and help us grow, to use teachers in our lives as well as the Holy Spirit using us, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the natural man, before I knew Christ as Savior, I couldn't even begin to understand true spirituality, spiritualness. And I have to admit that when I was in the military, to my shame, I mocked Christians. I thought they were phonier than a $9 bill. I'm glad that God's long-suffering didn't give up on Rich Bailey, but that I came to a saving knowledge. And I'm thankful that I got to a point in my Christian life to where I was humbled before God and became teachable. How teachable are you? Where are you in your adventure? Are the things of the world, the lures and the lust thereof, still pulling you away from the truth of God's word? I want you to know the power of the Spirit of God can give you victory. True victory. Why? Because he has overcome Christ. In Christ crucified, he has overcome the world. Satan is defeated. He has no hold on you. You cannot be demon possessed. You can walk with him in a passionate, passionate way. You and I just need to be teachable, humbled before his grace and mercy, humbled before his power, and plunge deep into God's word. Allow it to be something that ministers to our soul, that radically transforms our heart. That which Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 would declare. 2 Corinthians 5:17, being that new creation in Christ. Many of you know that that is one of my favorite verses, and many of you know why and how God used my daughter in my life to bring that message to me in a new and understanding and wonderful way. Not only must we be teachable, but we, in that teachableness, if we're going to be genuinely teachable, we have to be willing to always, willing to examine our own heart. Look at verses 15 and 16. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, you and I can't judge one another. We know that it is God who judges our heart. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Examining my own heart was challenging. You know, even before I was saved, I would compare myself to Christians. Well, I'm better than him or her or whatever. Just foolishness. And you know, that kind of carried over even into my saved life. I would still go, man, they've been walking with God. Oh, you know, look at the, wow, you know, and the craziness of what they're doing. Rather than just truly, passionately pursuing God in my own personal walk. Examine my heart moment by moment, day by day. You know, the first great commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. My heart. What is my deepest desire and pursuit in life? Is it Christ crucified? I hope that is yours. My soul. Where does my soul truly rest? What do I find my hope and truth in? The things that people say? Or God's word? through Christ crucified. Our mind. You know, Paul told the folks in Romans 12, you know, it's through the renewing of the mind that you and I won't be stuffed into and conformed to the things of this world, but be able to be transformed for his glory and his glory alone. To where then and only there can we become that living sacrifice, using those gifts, entering that calling because of his indwellingness, because of this relationship, because of salvation, walking in hope, knowing our future is secure. Can we do any of that? Heart, soul, mind, strength. What are my efforts going to be? My wife gently reminded me, hey, Rich, it's God's word. It's different. You're not here. I can't see your smiling faces. I can't hear your amens. I can't hear your comments, but I know where you are. They're going on because it's God's word. To have true hope. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I know it's a familiar passage of scripture, but in closing, I just want to share this with you today. Start in verse 3 with me. John chapter 13. He is declared, Christ has declared to the disciples that he is the true vine, that the Father is the vine dresser, and that we must abide in him. You already are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, he knew that these 11 had trusted him as Christ, as Lord and Savior. They were clean. They were forgiven. Even though he hadn't gone to the cross yet, he knew they were clean because they believed in him and they were going to trust his sacrifice for them. Verse 4 goes on to say, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He abides in me and I in him. Notice this, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And that's what Paul is encouraging them with, this fact that the crucified Christ, the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God brings this genuine fruit to bear. And it's not us that brings the fruit. God provides the fruit. And he allows us to participate in it. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Now don't take that as a health, wealth, and prosperity verse. That's not it. This is talking about abiding in Christ. The joy of that, the fruitfulness of that, the wonder of being a part of the body of believers, being fit together that we will see soon. This wonder of walking in Christ together through the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. By this, verse 8, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Using his giftedness and his equipping in our lives for his glory and his glory alone. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. In other words, if we are willing to examine ourselves, be teachable, here it is. We are abiding in the love of Christ. We are abiding in Christ ourselves and walking with him. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Paul wanted the folks in Corinth to really experience the genuine joy of walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit of God, being committed to seeking and living the wisdom of God, passionately, passionately seeking His wisdom, living in it for His glory. Men's wisdom or God's? You know, Reuters shared this story in 1994 of a guy who really hated doctors. Many of you know I just went through surgery. It was on my knee, you know, and the surgeon did a great job, you know, and I'm walking pain-free today. And it is so cool because it was painful to have doctors who understand things. We have doctors that are being overwhelmed with the coronavirus, and yet, why are they there? Because of their call to humanity and wanting to help in the midst of it. Well, this guy didn't like doctors. You know, he knew he had to have gallbladder surgery, and he needed it, but he just couldn't overcome the fear. And the fear of God within that. And you know what this guy did? He actually chose to neglect natural wisdom that we would want to have. And he operated on himself. Yeah, believe it or not, he operated on himself. And so a very simple surgery that could be carried out within the hospital, he said, no, and I'm going to do it myself because I don't trust, I don't believe. And so he did it himself, and this poor man ended up dying foolishly. Yeah, he caught an infection that was bad, and he died. Now, why do I share that? Because there's a possibility that there's someone out there listening at this very moment who doesn't trust God. For whatever reason. And I want you to know that He is there for you. That this book is real. That it's genuine, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which I know I was one of the worst. And through His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, I've been set free. And I've entered into this journey, this exciting journey, in a powerful and profound way because of who He is. Don't give up on God. No matter the pain, no matter the difficulty, no matter the situation that you find yourself in, God is there. Reach out to Him. Walk in Him, being led in Him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank You again so much for Your word. You know, it's always my plea every time that I go to teach that it makes sense. And Lord, how my heart is burdened for those who don't trust You because of the circumstances of life. Lord, I just pray that they would just be humbled before Your throne and kneel before You, pleading with You to meet them where they're at. And I know that You yearn to do that. And that You would minister to them in a profound way. I pray that even now that comment section is being filled up. Pray for me. That people would be praying. Father, how I plead that if there's one listening out there who has never trusted Christ, that they've heard today, Christ was crucified for them. Spirit yearns for them to trust Christ as their personal Savior, repenting of their sin and trusting His sacrifice. Lord, You know the needs of every person within my voice, whether it's Uganda, whether it's Peru, Chile, Mexico, United States. Lord, I just pray You would be glorified in it all, and that You would bear much fruit in the hearts and lives of those listening, and meet every need. For it's in Your Son's name we pray.